Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
All right. Howdy, 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 everyone, and welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, and I am live in Palm Springs, California on this Thursday night. I just want everyone to please follow us on social media. I'm at Jasper Cole Says, S-A-Y-S, on Twitter and Instagram, please, and also Facebook, Jasper Cole. We have a One-on-One with Jasper Cole page as well. Or if all of that fails, you can just go to jaspercole.com and we have a link to the show and it has all the information that you need. And also a reminder that every Thursday night as well at 7 p.m., right when this show ends, over on BS Podcast Network, which is our host, main host page, last week's episode with Sean Kanan will be airing on that network at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern. And anyway, everybody, we are completing week 10 or 9, depending on where you are, of the COVID-19 shelter in place. So without further ado, I'm going to need to just bring on series regular permanent co-host, Orange Ralphalicious, Mr. Ralph Cole Jr. And go.
Hello, Jasper. Hello, planet Eartha, and welcome to my voice, my vocal exploration.
Will be heard, bitches.
Yeah, will be always fucking heard. Thank you. And I want to just compliment you and commend you on that lovely British accent. It was like we had just gone across the pond for a second. I thought I was listening to Spencer Tracy or Katharine Hepburn or someone.
Or Vivian Leigh. Okay. One of those old dead queens. That's what you were trying to say.
Okay, girl, work it out. Yeah.
Okay, Ralph. So here we are. Can you believe? I mean, I literally can like mark the weeks by how quickly it seems like we just did the show and it's already Thursday again.
I know. Is the week? Don't you find you're busier now during this quarantine, shelter in place, and pandemic? It's like. So many things happen.
Ain't nobody got no time for work because we're just too busy creating work. My whole thing is we've been so busy. Everyone's so busy creating ideas. And then it's like, and when are we going to do the work? But that's okay. We'll have it all ready to go once they open the floodgates.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, everybody is trying to get all their creations out. So when those floodgates are released, then they have content all ready to go.
Or we'd just be all so exhausted. We're like, oh, we don't really want to leave the house. We've gotten too comfortable. Doing our Zoom readings and our meetings and everybody I talk to now is like, well, it's interesting. It's either one extreme or the other. And I want to first of all say, we are not shaming anybody because apparently there's this whole thing going on where half the world feels like guilty that they're not being creative. And then the other half is like all excited that they're getting all this shit done. So my whole thing is either way, whatever you're doing is good. We're not going to judge you on the air. We're going to wait till we hang up and then talk about you behind your back.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
Like any good Southern person knows. Yes.
And,
but there's no wrong way to do it.
There's no wrong way because there's never been this before. The last big pandemic, as we have discussed, was in 1919. And I think
how was that, Ralph? You were here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was there for that. And I think, and you know,
you and Cicely Tyson, go ahead.
Said, yes, and Harriet Tubman. We were like, you know, this was the time before internet. So all we did was put on cloth masks and hope for the best. And
right.
And we were
and kiss your
and
ass
we were,
goodbye.
Right. We were happy to shelter inside. You know, what a different time now going through this pandemic. I mean, this horrible, oh, it's just like Hollywood is trying to get us back into making movies and keeping everybody safe. And it's just like, you know, it's
crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, everyone, please, I want to make sure everyone knows they can follow you at Ralph Cole Jr. Just so we can get that out in the beginning. Cause,
exactly.
You know,
cause
you know, Ralph and I are not above begging for followers. So lately, this week, I actually posted on Facebook, you know, could some of my 5,000 Facebook followers please follow me on Instagram? And actually, people did. So
I'd love our listeners
to go over to at Ralph Cole Jr. and follow him. He's on Twitter and Instagram also.
Yes, and I'm not compulsive about it. You know, I am not afraid to become irrelevant because I haven't posted in an hour. And so
right.
I, you know, it's sometimes less is more. And then when you do post, it's like, oh, great. Have you noticed how many people start live videos now on Instagram? It's like, wow, how society has changed. I mean, before, at least from my feed, those were only few and far between. Now it's just like a litany of people starting a live video, girl. So that's all.
Speaking of, I want everyone to please follow Carlise Burke on Facebook and Instagram because she is doing hula hooping now. And if you don't, Carlise is a prolific character actress. You've seen her on everything. And she's got like only Carlise can book commercials during a pandemic.
Exactly.
So, but please follow her because a couple of years ago, it was the swimming with the decorative swimming caps.
With her Erica Badu swimming caps.
That
exactly.
I fell in love with. But and also she does Thursday. Oh, I think she did her Thursday live today, right? On Thursday?
Right.
She does her Thursday. But she is now hula hooping, which is actually a fad that they should bring back, you know, from the 60s and 70s.
It's terrific exercise. I could never master the hula hoop, though. But I love the different exercise you can do with the hoop. That's fierce.
Well, I'm sure those hips of yours would be able to hula hoop.
Oh,
you know?
they will.
Those rubber band hips. Well,
they're swivelly and swervy. Oh, that reminds me of Erica Renee Davis. She's swivelly and swervy like that. I love Erica Davis.
Erica has a brand new YouTube show that she's starting, and I'm actually going to be her guest tomorrow. They're not live, they're taped, but it's called Big Dog Little Dog, and I'm thrilled to be one of her first guests, and that I'm not sure when she's posting, but we'll do a whole publicity run for her.
Oh, that will be exciting. Yes, for her to interview you this time. Excellent.
Flip those mics. And speaking of flipping the mic, last week when I did the episode of Bearing It All with Adam Rothenberg, you know, part of his interview is he asks actors or people or guests to reveal something no one knows about them. And my big reveal was that Hollywood's bad guy can actually twirl a baton. And so I ordered a baton on Amazon and it came in and I did make a video of it. And Adam Rothenberg is going to be sharing that video. So for those of you, and then after he does, I will. But it's one of those things, Ralph, you know, it's like hula hooping and riding a bicycle. Once you learn to twirl, you just never forget. So
it twirled up. Yes, and speaking of that, I can
Shirley MacLaine.
Exactly. I can create a boomerang because years ago, Carlise loaned me her baton when I was working with Queer as Folk. Oh, no, not Queer as Folk, Queer Wise with Michael Kern. Yes.
And Daryl Larson.
And Daryl Larson, exactly. And I used the baton in one of my monologues, and that was loaned to me by Carlise.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to have to put out there that we're just all of us baton twirlers are going to have to get together and just do a Zoom baton twirl.
Oh my goodness!
And watch the batons break the computer screens and go through the windows and stuff. Let's just crash everything at one time.
I love it.
Mm. Well, speaking of Hollywood, have you gotten on to Ryan Murphy's Hollywood series on Netflix yet?
No, I have not begun that one yet.
Okay, well, that's your assignment.
Okay.
No, I would love for you to see it. First of all, I think you will really enjoy it. You know, boomeranging the fact that you and I have both worked for Ryan Murphy. So mm-hmm. me on American Horror Story and you on the Versace miniseries.
Exactly.
But it's a 7-episode miniseries on Netflix, and it's basically Ryan's homage to Hollywood. And it would be like if he could go back into the 1940s and rewrite history, this mm-hmm. would be how he would have done it. And so, you know, it's getting a lot of, well, any publicity is good publicity. People seem to either really love it or really hate it. I love it because I love that era and I love anything to do with Hollywood, but it deals with, you know, homophobia and racism and sexism and xenophobia and all that back in those days. And it's just Holland Taylor and Darren Criss and just amazing cast, you know? So,
great.
Yeah. Dennis and I are on episode 4. So they end up being like, I think they're like 45-minute episodes. So, mm-hmm. I'd love your opinion on it. We could talk about it next week. So I know.
Absolutely.
I just threw that at you. Oh, no, I was just going to segue over to how we're starting to really see Hollywood trying to open. And it really kind of came into light this week with Tyler Perry's big announcement that two of his shows, Sistas and The Oval, are going back into production July 28th. And there's this whole system he's put together, which kind of reminds me of the old Hollywood system, which when we were talking about Ryan Murphy. But his thing is, for the listeners who didn't read the article, you can go to deadline.com and find it. But it really highlights how he's going to shoot 22 episodes in 2.5 weeks, which actually, when people freak out when they hear that, daytime dramas shoot an hour show every day. So it's the same theory. In basically 17 days, he'll be shooting 22 episodes. But the actors, the crew, himself, everybody will live at the studio, not allowed to leave. There'll be housing provided on the lot. CDC officials will be there. There'll be testing kits. There'll be medical, you know, experts there. So I think Hollywood and SAG and all the unions are going to be watching this experiment sort of to see how it goes. And because on the other end, LA announced yesterday that their stay at home in place order is going to go through August.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're going to loosen up a little bit, but that's going to ensure that none of the studios are going to be opening till after that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So today, you know, we have our special guest is Emmy-winning producer, director, writer Gregory J. Martin, and he created the series The Bay. And I really can't wait to get his take on COVID-19 and what his vision is and what he sees happening going forward and like what he would feel comfortable with his own show and how he would do that. So
okay,
he's really, he'll be our first person that we've really talked to. I mean, Sean Kanan also last week is, you know, an executive producer, but he's also the actor, writer, all that other stuff, whereas Gregory is strictly in charge of the quote production. So what do you think? Are you optimistic about the Tyler Perry experiment?
I feel that it's a a risky experiment, because if anyone does fall ill, then will that still encourage other studios to go forward, mm-hmm. or will we be once again scared back into a quarantine situation? In terms of being proactive and going forward, he surpassed that in so many ways just by virtue of creating his mega studio. Mm-hmm. So if there is a way to accomplish this, then I say hooray. I guess my reluctance is he's trying to orchestrate and direct something that is not possible to do. I mean,
and to that point, if you know Tyler, that's kind of been his challenge. And he kind of did that, quote unquote, with his entire career. So you make a great point. He did that with being the first Black guy to open a studio, and he also did it outside of Hollywood. So yeah, it's not a surprise to me that he's trying to be this trailblazer. I mean, the good news is, because he's a billionaire, like, he's flying people on their private plane, if they're not already in Atlanta. he will provide the best of everything. But I, again, keep going back to the unions and the crews and just trying to make sure that we all get on a uniformed, unified sort of guideline here of what those safety guidelines are supposed to look like. And I think, and I may be wrong, and maybe Gregory knows when he comes on, but I believe actors are going to be signing a waiver, releasing Tyler or BET of any responsibilities if they get sick. And he did say in the article that he spoke to every actor, and if any one actor did not want to do it, he would not have proceeded. So clearly both cast all agreed to want to get back to work. And so,
great. Yeah. I think, like I say, it's a noble enterprise, and I wish everyone, of course, the best of luck. I guess there's just so much unknown still in our daily lives about this virus and how it changes daily. It's like, how do you orchestrate a storm? Mm-hmm. So I hope that it will all be successful. And I applaud all the actors and the crew that want to get back to work and get the economy going. I'm all for that. But if it's premature and we end up doing more damage, then where are we left? It's such a scary time.
Right.
Like I said, it wasn't like this with Harriet and I in 1919.
Right. You just had to worry about, doing your laundry against the rock outside in the creek.
Exactly. And how are we going to get some bread, on the table? But
you're going to need that dough and throw it in that fire oven, bitch. How else are you going to get it?
Right, exactly. And who made the oven? There's just so many questions, Jasper.
Jesus Christ. God made the oven.
Okay, okay. God made that oven.
That was after Adam and Eve had sex and somebody bit an apple and there was a snake or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Allegedly.
Yeah, so, it's like we're living in parallel lives, or maybe I'll put it in first person, in the sense of I feel very great. I'm in a great mood and Rose and I are doing fine. But the reality of things is the curve hasn't flattened,
right.
And like I thought, was hoping that it would have flattened by now, and to hear that it hasn't and that it's getting worse, it's like, well, that's the thing that's such a conundrum to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse, but yet we're going into phase two of opening certain businesses, so I guess for the people that are enthusiastic and want to keep moving forward, it's like, let's take our chances and just go forward, because how much longer can we sit waiting to see if we're going to get this disease,
right.
This virus. So
well, I know some people have actually said they just, part of them subconsciously just kind of is like, let me just get it and get it over with,
mm-hmm.
But then there's no guarantee. There's been no guarantee, because they don't know yet, that just because you get it doesn't mean you can't get it again. And also, because I know we're all running out now and getting our testing, and but we don't know if the having the antibodies really guarantees anything yet. My theory would be, I'm hoping that if we have the antibodies already, at least maybe that will keep us immune long enough until the vaccine comes.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean, because it doesn't mean we would be immune for life or anything. So I feel optimistic too that they're pushing through so many possible treatments before a vaccine. So maybe there will be some kind of treatment that will lessen the effects, or, you know, I think we mentioned that last week. It'll at least keep the virus from killing you or going to your lungs or whatever. So, I mean, that's where we've got the greatest scientists. But again, this week, I've been kind of feeling like good. I've been enjoying the time off, but this week it kind of hit me like, I cannot believe the country is once again somehow politically divided during a pandemic. It's like, mm-hmm. I just can't believe we were able to make a pandemic a political issue. It just tells me that I don't see how the country's, I just honestly feel like we will be divided. You know, there's blue, red and blue Republican Democrats. And maybe there's a few people that say they're in the middle. I just don't know. How can you really be in the middle right now when you have someone, in my opinion, as divisive as Trump? You know, it's
right.
You know what I mean? He's so divisive. It's like there's no gray area. So I don't really understand. Someone the other day said to me, well, I haven't really made up my mind who I'm voting for. And I was thinking, really? So what are you waiting on?
Right. What's
like,
going
what would,
to sway
what would change
you?
Your mind?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's just one of those weird things.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that it's become political and it's also become racial. You know, you know, certain cultures thinking that another culture is more prone to it when that isn't the case at all. It's
what you're seeing is, you're right. I think you were just about to say it's socioeconomic. And unfortunately, that always falls more on minorities because they make
exactly,
you know. And so, of course, they, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. But that includes, you know, Hispanics and poor white Caucasian people as well. But there's a much higher population of African-Americans that are, you know, in the minority. And what's happening is for the people who don't have health care, they don't have the advantage of picking up the phone and calling
exactly.
their doctor when they first get sick like we do.
Exactly. I got an email from my doctor's office saying, come and get tested. We're happy to give you a test, mm-hmm. you know. And so I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, one thing we're very realistic on our show. Our show, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Pandemic 2020, is about keeping things a little bit lighter than usual because we are inundated with the news. But one thing I do want to reflect on is how we have this wonderful slogan of we're all in this together.
Right.
And regrettably, we're not, because there's so many people that are being antagonistic to our governors and our mayors and to law enforcement about sheltering in place. And when you see, you know, talking about socioeconomic, here are white people just going to the beach and wanting to do whatever they want. You know, it's like we're not in this together.
No.
When the other socioeconomic people, including white people in that group as well, are sheltering place at home and homeschooling their children and doing everything, washing your hands as frequently as possible, we're not all in this together. And that's what's sad to me. And like you said, God, you know, if it takes a pandemic still and there's still going to be political divisiveness, then what hope do we ever, what is it going to take for us?
Right, right.
You know,
to bring us together.
Yeah, if we could be politically separated, you know, like those times on cartoons and shows you grew up with, it's like, you know, the brother and sister would be having this heinous fight and arguments like, okay, you guys, truce, And then for that truce moment, you'd be able to, you know, do something together and then return to arguing. Why, it's sad our society is can't do that. It's like, okay, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat. When you're both laying on a gurney next to each other trying to see who's going to get the ventilator, what difference does it make if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a black or a white? You know?
Right.
So,
well, unfortunately, that's where that's what's happening. When you said that, that reminds me of like Good Times, or one of those great Norman Lear series, you know, that I could just see the, you know, the family arguing. But at the end of the day, by the end of the episode, there was some, they've come together on some level. But listen, speaking of Norman Lear's and prolific producers, it is time to bring on our very special guest.
Yay!
As we have talked about before, you know, The Bay, we've had on Christos Andrews, we had Jade Harlow. It is record-breaking in their number of Emmy nominations and Emmy wins. It is they're having their 10th year anniversary, fifth season on Amazon Prime. We are so excited to bring on to the show today the creator, the executive producer, a writer, a director, one of the best, Mr. Gregory J. Martin.
Thank you. I hope my connection's okay. Thank you.
You sound great. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is an honor to be here, and I thank you for that awesome introduction.
Well, listen, I know you don't do a lot of interviews, so Ralph and I, say hello. This is my co-host,
Ralph.
Mr.
Hi, Gregory. Thank you so very much for joining us. I wanted to laugh with you and go, well, barely a show goes by, Gregory, where somebody doesn't tout your horn just famously. So that's been a lot of fun. I couldn't wait to meet you and talk to you. And secondly, I'd like to wish you a belated happy birthday, because I know you just had one on May 6th.
Thank you.
So yes, you're very welcome. And without further ado, tell us about your life. Go.
Oh, goodness.
Right, this is your life. But I want everyone to know they can follow Gregory at, it's very easy, Gregory J. Martin, and it's G-R-E-G-O-R-I, J. Martin, pretty much on all the platforms, and also at The Bay, the series. Yeah. So listen, yes, okay. Well, you're still so young, and believe me, enjoy people telling you that, because I know you're a veteran. You are a veteran because you've been doing this for 20 plus years. But first of all, I just want to say congratulations on the success, obviously, of The Bay. You've raised the bar for everybody else.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. And I'm very grateful to be doing it and to have the respect that we've gotten and to be appreciated by my peers. You know, it's wonderful.
Well, let me ask you, because you're from Yonkers, and when I think of Yonkers, I always think of Neil Simon and like Lost in Yonkers. But that you grew up in an area that, to me, I don't know why, in my mind, it's just like rife with show business or theater and characters and, you know, a great place to grow up in. And did you sort of have this love of show business and theater and film as a kid, or how did it all happen for you?
Totally. I actually don't remember. You know, a question I get often is, when did you first realize that you wanted to do what you do? And my answer is always, I can't remember. It was too far back in my memory. I don't ever remember a time where I didn't want to be doing what I'm doing. In fact, my crazy child mind thought I was already doing it when I wasn't. But I remember having story ideas and having, you know, like The Bay, for instance. The Bay has been in my head for as far as I can remember, and I always kind of approached it in a way where it was never something that I hope to do, but it was always something that I'm going to do, and I just needed to get out of my child body to get it done.
Right.
So that's kind of how it's always been. So I actually don't remember ever not wanting to do what I'm doing. So.
Well, I have to be honest and tell you, I mean, I always am like, I haven't shared that with a lot of people, but it's a weird thing. I've always felt that way in a way too. People would ask me, what made you think you could come and quote, make it in Hollywood? First of all, I don't use that phrase because that's not true. But I kind of always thought most people always knew what they wanted to do. I just thought it was a given, but you know, I meet people now, of course, as an adult, and I realize that that's not something everyone is, you know, grows up knowing what they want to do. It's just a matter of figuring out how to actually do it.
Yeah.
And
totally.
So for you,
it takes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying, it takes time to kind of, I know lots of people that it takes time to kind of figure out what it is that they, you know, that they really want to do with their lives. And eventually people figure it out. And when they do, it's wonderful.
Well, for you, were you a fan of television, like growing up? Were you a fan of the daytime drama, the nighttime serial kind of soap operas, or just a fan in general?
I was a fan of everything. I mean, I was a TV like fanatic. I grew up watching, you know all the you know TGIF and all the sitcoms, and I also grew up watching daytime and primetime soaps, animations, every horror. I was a big horror buff. I watched everything. So I love TV. I actually prefer TV over film. I've done film, but I prefer TV over film. But I think it's because I grew up as such a TV fanatic that even though I eventually got into films, it wasn't. I mean, we all grew up with, you know, classic films like Back to the Future or Rocky or, you know, movies like that. But it was Gremlins. I loved Gremlins. But I was more of a TV buff where I watched every TV show and sitcom and soap opera. And I think I watched about four or five soap operas religiously with my sisters. Kind of peeked into the other ones every once in a while, so I knew like the characters and TV has been a big part of my life. I don't watch any TV today. If I can get a TV show in, I'm so grateful if I can actually finish a show, because it actually feels like you accomplished something for me today. It's like, oh my God, I got through the first season of this show.
Right,
it feels good, but I just don't have the time anymore. But yes, I grew up as a big TV buff.
That's fantastic. You know, it's funny. It's that thing about now that you do it, it's almost like, I mean, I like people say to me, I love reality TV because I think it's one genre I'm not in. I do produce reality, but it's the one thing I can watch and not be picking it apart, you know, like knowing how it, you know what I mean? Knowing how it's all put together. I like the pace of television as opposed to film also, you know, a lot of actors, they want all the time in the world and they like a little more of the time on a film. I love the pace, the fast pace of television myself. That's me.
Me too. I love it. It's actually great. There's, I had a thought based on what you were just saying. I lost it. But
TV versus film, or just the pace? You know, for you, did you go like Ralph and I talk about our sort of our natural thing for us as we first went into theater, and did theater first? And was that something you did initially, was theater, and then transitioned into film?
Very little. I did do theater. I was actually an acting coach for a company called Youth Theater Interactions. And, it's a company that was based out of Yonkers in Westchester County. And they would do kind of educational plays around the, tri-state area. And we went up to Canada and flew out to Florida once, but all on that side, on that coast. And, it was called Youth Theater Interactions. I started as an acting student, and we would do these plays, these educational plays around that area. And then eventually I went back as an acting coach for the school, Youth Theater Interactions. And I directed a I directed some theater productions, which was a lot of fun. And I did like a Shakespeare thing once, but you know, I wasn't really big in it. I mean, I love theater. I'm a big fan of Phantom of the Opera. I was very excited to see that online last month, but I didn't really have a lot of experience as a theater in the theater world. I did a little, I'm a director and I don't consider myself an actor, but when I was an actor, I did some theater, but very minimally, in the same with directing.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, did you go into New York City from Yonkers or did you head west first? Yeah.
No, I did my work and I did a lot of PA work when I first started. I was an actor and I was doing I started doing extra work. And then I got a couple of independent projects and short films as an actor, and I just had the itch to kind of go be doing things behind the scenes. So I started to produce my own content. I worked as a PA on a lot of different sets. And then I had the idea of producing a feature film, met some folks in the industry who had more experience than I did and knew what they were doing and became friends with them. And eventually decided I was going to raise some money to shoot a movie. And I did, and moved out to LA and directed my first film back in, goodness, I don't remember when that was. It's probably,
you were young, but you were young for sure.
Yeah. I think I was 26 or 27 when I directed my first film. So
wow.
I'm 42 now, whatever that was. And that was, a lot of fun. It was a super low budget horror, D horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was kind of realized that I didn't really have the interest to act as much as I do to direct.
Mm.
So I just kind of focused on that. I love to write, which so for me, it's directing and writing those are my two main things, even though I am a producer and it's just part of the, you know, what we need to do to make sure that we're staying employed.
Right.
It's not my favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know people say that I'm good at it, but it's just not my thing. I just do it because
that's your passion.
It's more of a, it's not my passion. Yeah.
Gregory, how did you raise the money to move out to LA?
Goodness, to remember, my God, my age is coming. I'm God, that was 20 years ago. Let me see. How did I do that originally? I believe we had some folks. I met some folks who were interested in doing a movie. And then we just kind of, and a lot of it was done by favor, so we didn't have to raise a lot of money. So I don't think it was a really, so that's kind of how, we just pulled a lot of favors and we shot it on a super shoestring budget.
Copy that. Okay.
Oh, I remember. Now I remember. Oh my goodness. I should probably give her credit, but my ex-wife actually was, that's so funny. Oh my God. You're just bringing it back.
This is therapy, Gregory. This is a free therapy session. So no one's listening. Feel free to say whatever you want.
That's funny.
Right.
No, it's probably an interesting story, and you're the first person that I've ever told this to on a
See, we got an exclusive here.
Yeah, you did. My ex-wife, I was 22 years old and I married this woman who was from Peru, and her family had some money, and it was so interesting because she wanted to open a video store, and I said to her, and we were going to do it, and we had the plans to do the whole video store, and then I guess when you're 22 and I'm a very passionate young filmmaker, I was like, oh, well, how about we just do a pilot instead? And so we ended up doing the pilot, and the money that was going to go into shooting to opening up a video store, which I'm glad because obviously video stores are kind of defunct now, but that we decided to put it into the pilot, and that's how
and the,
that was my
and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Well, it's
yeah.
funny. It's funny what we do in our 20s. You know, when we, I often say now, if I had the, like the just balls to the walls, you know, energy of what I did in my 20s, but with the somewhat of the wisdom I have now, that would be the perfect combination. But we just somehow
yeah,
we're in
no.
our 20s, we just made it happen. You know, it was like
yeah.
just whatever. I remember one time someone, it came down to I needed to pay my light bill or get new headshots. And I got new headshots. and they turned
good
the electricity off. And I was like, wow. Now, looking back now as a 56-year-old, I'm like, what a dumbass. But, you know,
yeah,
I thought.
But the crazy
was,
thing is that probably ended up, you that those headshots got you a job. And you ended up getting that money back. And,
hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing I was going to say to you, Gregory. This is so great about what you and your ex-wife experienced, because based on the way you grew up and that everything that was intrinsically in your body, when your ex-wife suggested Video Store, just go with me on this one for a second, Gregory.
Mm-hmm. Get ready. I'm not sure where this is going. So
your mind Video Store. Why don't I make the video that will be rented?
Oh,
and that's what made me pay to her. Let's put that because at 22 years old, saying that, I mean, pilots, of course, have been around. That goes back to when you were 12 years old, thinking like, oh, God, when I can fucking get out of here and get out of this body and be an adult and really just like pursue these things.
Yeah.
Then, and it's just what you said to Jasper, by him getting headshots instead of paying the light bill. It's what you did. It's like, well, now you'd have a defunct Video Store, you know.
Priorities. We have our priorities straight.
So excellent.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's and I strongly believe in it, you know, what goes around comes around. So I think everything, all decisions that you make in life, are what are meant to be. So
yes,
it's
Well, you know, going back to what you said earlier, like two things. First of all, I think extra work, you know, is a wonderful way for young actors to learn a set, you know, watch what happens on a set. And then also, like you said, doing PA work. I don't know if a lot of listeners realize, but you know, PAs on a set, yes, it's a lot of grunt work and it's, you know, getting coffee and all that stuff, but it's a great way to get your foot in the business and also learn while you're there. And I think the other great thing you said was you knew to partner with people who knew a lot more than you did, because I don't know if you see this, but I run into this lately. You know, a lot of people, they get into this business and they feel somewhat offended that they have to sort of work their way up, or that they have to actually learn from someone who's more experienced. You know, there's a lot of this. They want instant success. Like, I need to just walk in the door and be hot dog
crazy.
Here.
Entitled. I'm totally on that. You know, one of the things that have happened to me, not one, but multiple times, was people that I was a PA for. Today, I actors when I'm in a show and we have background talent, and I don't even like to call them extras because it's I just feel like it's kind of like, so I always call them background talent, but I remember being a, you know, an extra, and I would have that desire, like, oh my God, hopefully they turn and they look at me and give me some screen time, and that feeling I remember it very kind of very clearly. And so whenever I have a scene where I have background talent involved, I go and I make an effort to remember everybody's name. And any background talent that's ever worked on the Bay knows that. Like, I'll just kind of go and I'll ask everybody their names, and I'm pretty good at memorizing. So I'll most likely remember everybody's name, and then I'll forget it the next day, but I remembered it that day. And then I just kind of make sure that everyone has screen time, because it's so important. Like, I think to this kind of, you know, first of all, they're such an essential part to your production and making it
Absolutely.
Look good. But also, these are human beings who have a passion and have a talent, and they're doing you a favor by being there. And
right.
And you just want to make sure that everyone feels good, you know. And so
that's great.
A great thing, Gregory. I want you to just dwell on what you just said, which is, well, when I was the PA for the people that I worked for, listen to what you just said. Now you're Gregory J. Martin, fucking fierce ass director of a hit ass show, and you were a PA. So it all goes around, like you said, it's all full circle. It's no different than acknowledging the busboy or the busgirl at a restaurant.
Right.
Yes, they're supposed to be out of sight, out of mind, but it's always nice to acknowledge another human being.
Yeah. Well, and like Gregory knows, Gregory sets the tone. You know, they always say the number one on the call sheet on the acting side, you know, sets the tone. And then, of course, the executive producer, it always starts at the top. And you'll that's one thing we hear about your productions. Is that how wonderful you are as a producer to work for? And that's why you get such great talent that, you know, want to work with you. And so, tell everybody what's happening on this fifth season of The Bay. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we're joined by the prolific Gregory J. Martin, creator of The Bay, now in its fifth season. And you can get that on Amazon Prime. I mean, everyone can start from season one and binge it, obviously, but what kind of adventures are we, without giving away too much, are we looking at this season?
Well, you know, my partner in crime is Christos Andrews, who's our lead actor on the show, and he's, you know,
who we've had on the show. We love him.
I've ever met, but his character is on quite the journey this season. I'm like one of those people. One of my producing partners is a big, like, spoiler person. She loves spoilers, Carolyn. And I'm the opposite. I won't even watch a trailer.
Right.
Because I'm scared that it's going to tell me something. I'll start to watch a trailer, and if I feel like it's giving me too much information, I'm like, all right, shut it off, quick. I don't want to watch it, because I love to go in blindly. And I'm also like that with my work. And so I don't really like to share much about what's happening. I rather than just kind of, you know, check out a teaser and see if they want to go and watch it. But there's some great adventures happening. You know, we go to Turks and Caicos for season five. Right. We haven't released that content. There is a trailer somewhere on Instagram or on the website or somewhere, but you can find it and see. It's like a 2-minute teaser about our trip to Turks and Caicos, which was a lot of fun.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so we've been kind of like we've been traveling a lot, which has been fun, and we want to do some more traveling because I love to shoot overseas or different places. Like our first location shoot was in New York. And then we went to – the next one was in Belgium, and then we went to England, and then the last one was in Turks and Caicos. And we hope to do more of that, you know. You know, Christos' character, Pete Garrett, is on quite a journey. And then, of course, we have the wonderful Mary Beth Evans, who plays Sarah. She is, you have to watch season five, but she was, I feel like I'm giving things away.
I know. It's so hard. It's so difficult. I know. I mean, the good thing about The Bay.
But we do have a spinoff.
Right. I was going to get to that. Yeah. You have a spinoff. Tell everyone about the spinoff.
I was going to say the spinoff is we're doing a spinoff of The Bay called YA, which is a young adult series. And it's 10 episodes. We shot the 10 episodes. They're in post now. Christos and I actually directed it together. And my son, Dante, is actually a series regular in it. And
Did
it with
that's
the D'Ambrosios. And
it's a family affair.
And our, you know, our business partners are the D'Ambrosios. And Wendy Rich, who's our executive producer on both The Bay, is also the executive producer on YA as well. And it's a good group of people. Everybody's wonderful. My supervising producer, my senior producer Nadine and Crystal, and we use the same crew and who I love, and it is a family affair. We love working together.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Well, that's what I love. And when Christos was here, we were talking about that and how you've created. It's very much like a Ryan Murphy. It's very much like, Woody Allen always had his stable of players and crew, Robert De Niro and Jane Rosenthal at their company. And, you know, and the longer you're in this business, I tell people all the time, when you're lucky enough, or if you're lucky enough to find great people that you want to spend 10 to 12 hours a day with, you don't want to let those people go. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to find people that you really click with in this business at times.
Yeah. I actually have a thing that happens a lot with me, because I do like to use the same actors on my projects, where I'm oftentimes advised by my, producing partners or distribution to say, hey, you can't use the same cast. And I'm like, oh, darn, because I love working with the same people so much. And so there's been times where I've done projects where the cast was just an alternate universe of the Bay, because I love working with the actors. And so I have to be careful with that, where I don't end up casting the same actors in all the projects. Christos, I love working with, because he's so wonderful and just so versatile. And so he can kind of morph into anything I write for him or create for him or direct him to do. And so that's always like my top pick. But but there's so many people that I love working with. And so you'll see a lot of the same actors in my projects. And I try to figure out how to do it where they're very different, or they're not, I'll just cast maybe like a handful of actors that I use in one project, and then I won't use them in the next one. And, because it can hurt distribution, but it is the feeling of being able to work with that family of folks that you love working with is that's what excites me most. And I rather work with my core group, not only actors, but the crew as well. Over and over again. Otherwise, it kind of takes the fun out of it. It's like, why am I doing? I'm not doing this for me.
Exactly.
I'm doing it for the people I love, you know. And so.
And you've already established like a secondhand language with the actors, and you guys trust each other. But that's a great segue. I wanted to, since you are a series creator and a producer, I wanted to get your take. We wanted to get your take. We briefly talked about in the opening, the quote reopening of Hollywood. It was announced this week that Tyler Perry Studios is going to try this experimental kind of situation where his two shows are coming back in July, and, you know, kind of being on a lockdown situation, everyone's in quarantine living at the studio. What's your opinion on looking forward, and, you know, how do you see this happening? I know it's an overwhelming question to answer, but.
Well, I think we're kind of in a similar situation where we might do the same thing, because we have my mentor was a guy who passed away a few years ago, and he had a ranch, which was kind of like a studio in a way. Mm-hmm. And we had we've shot a lot of our movies there, and it has like suites and lots of property. And I've shot whole feature films there, and I also shot almost all of season 2 and a good portion of season 5 at this place. And so we're thinking, when we do go back, if we do go back into production, we'll probably do the same thing as what Tyler's doing, where people would just stay there, and just be quarantined together, so that we're not, we're at lower risk. It's a great thing to do. And I think if people have that ability, that's how you're going to, stay alive, in the sense of shooting.
That some kind of vaccine or something. Yeah.
And so, so I think it's important. I mean, I'm like a nervous wreck. I don't want to be around any other human being right now.
Me too.
Yeah, and it, I think people are not taking it serious enough. Anytime I go for a drive, if I have to go to the bank or if I have to go to, like, because we, you know, we stay between the Santa Monica house and the valley, and so if we, like, if we ever, like, switch and we're, and I go and I see people out and about without masks or even out and about, period, even if you're wearing a mask, I'm like, what are all of these people doing? Go home, go write a book, do something, stay out of the public, you know? It doesn't make any sense, and it's very selfish, I think, and I think people need to really be taking this serious because this is going to go away, but it's not going to go away if we don't take it serious, you know?
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, we talk, like you said, when you think about just the concept of a set and how many people it takes, and it's just a little overwhelming. I get a little overwhelmed as well. But like you said, I think the more controlled we could keep it, you know, I think everyone would, and testing, of course, testing will help as well. But in a very bizarre way, you know, it's like, it's certainly not, I don't mean this to say exciting because it's, people are dying and it's horrible, but it's just very interesting to be living during this period, and we will look back on it, you know, and have our different takes on it. But definitely it's the new normal, and it's changed our business for sure going forward. And probably in some better ways too, you know, we'll find that out later on, I guess.
Yeah. I do think that, I think it's such an important thing for people to understand that, I know it's hard to be locked in the house, but if people, I wish there was some way to kind of like deliver this message to the world who are having anxiety about being stuck in the house for this time to comprehend the fact that this is just a small time period of our lives that will go away if we just cooperate.
Right.
Watch, binge every show you possibly can. Don't worry about, it's not about you right now. It's not about, you know, it's about the world, and it's about, making sure that we are taking all precautionary measures. It's not about our, you know, I see a lot of people fighting saying, I have the right to wear a mask if I want to, it's my choice. It's like, it's like, come on guys, listen, this is happening all over the world.
Right.
Stop making it a political thing. This is happening all over the world, in every country around the world.
Right.
Okay. And they have to understand the severity of it so that we can bring it to an end. And people are dying. People are literally dying. And
I
it's
know.
Happened. I've lost someone, and I know people who have, lots of people in my relatives have been affected by it. And some folks that were really close to the Bay have been affected by it. And we are risking not only our own lives, but the lives of so many other people by not taking it serious.
I completely agree with you, Gregory. Thank you for getting that out on the air, because actually you said, I wish I could get this out to the world. Well, lucky for you, the world listens to our show.
Good.
Thank God.
It's called Planet Earth, so I hope they do adhere to it, you know, so we can really believe in the expression, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's true, totally. Though. It's like I never, Ralph and I were saying in the opening, I just can't believe, you know, the fact that we've even in a pandemic, you know, people are divided politically. I'm astounded when I see people protesting. It's like you're protesting science and facts, like people that are trying to actually help you and to keep you alive. But you just have this need to protest, and then of course they're protesting with Confederate flags and guns and, you know, all that stuff.
Goodness.
That's a whole other thing. But again, you know, I just say 2020 November, everyone vote, whatever you're voting for, just vote and keep it going. And on a different note, I wanted to say, you know, the Daytime Emmy nominations, I think might be coming out next week. I don't know. They keep mentioning it. I mean, you know, Bronx SIU that I'm involved in. Now, let me just say for
what
JR,
a great show.
Well, thank you. But for J.R. Rosenberg and I, this would be our like first potential nomination. I know it takes me 33 years to potentially get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But No matter what happens.
Bronx, SIU, was it not nominated last year for Best Show?
We had three acting nominations, which we were beyond thrilled for, you know. So being the new kid on the block. But we're just thrilled to be part of this whole digital family. You know, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Because everyone is so supportive.
I actually have to take my hats off to a show like Bronx SIU because, you know, they actually produce half-hour episodes. And it's not, and that's no easy feat, you know, to be able to, I mean, I've done, and there's no disrespect to any short form content because I've also produced short form, you know, but in this particular category, when you have a digital series that is a full broadcast half hour, to be able to accomplish that, just to put it together in an independent form is just alone an accomplishment. And so my hat's off to Bronx SIU for being able to do that and to produce, not only produce half hour shows, but to actually produce good content. So
good. Well, thank you. Yeah. Hats off to Dan Garcia and Mike Mayhall who make all that happen. But again, I want to give a special shout out to J.R. Rosenberg, my partner, because he's amazing. You know, for a guy that, is not in Hollywood, thank God. You know, the whole time we've worked together for 13 years, he's also lived outside of LA, but he gets more done. I think that's the key, that he lives in a different state. But nowadays, it doesn't matter where you live. You know, everything's the phone.
And now he's a producer on the Bay. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Congrats. We just brought him on as a producer for the Bay.
Oh my God! Congratulations. Well, let me tell you, he gets stuff done, and he's a wonderful person. Yeah. So congratulations on that. So, well, Gregory, the time flies. I mean, we really need like a 3-hour show with you because we could talk forever. But again, everyone, check out The Bay on Amazon Prime. Look out for YA that will be coming, and then also the sci-fi series Fracture. You can, you know, Google Gregory J. Martin. Follow him at Gregory J. Martin and keep up with all the stuff that's happening. Give our best to Christos and the family.
Gregory?
I sure will. Yes.
What does the J stand for?
Oh, that's a funny story. I hope I don't embarrass my mother for this, but when I was my mother was very young when she had me, and I am a junior. And she accidentally put it in the middle of my name instead of the end. And so junior, and spelled out junior. So it became my middle name.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. So,
that's fantastic.
Thank you, junior. Yeah. I'm also a junior.
We're all three juniors, actually.
Exactly, yes. You were a delight, Gregory, and I really appreciate your passion about your work and about society.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Please come back anytime.
I hope to come back, yes.
You're
Thank
welcome
you, guys.
All the
Thanks
time.
For having me. This was a lot of fun.
Okay,
thanks,
bye-bye,
Gregory.
Gregory.
Stay safe. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fantastic. Ralph, thanks again for a great show as always.
You are so welcome. I mean, it is just going to be in no time before Showtime or Hulu or Amazon Prime is going to be contacting you to get us on their show weekly, you know, with video, because we are fierce and our guests are fierce. Each week, it's just so much fun.
Thanks to J.R. Rosenberg for booking our show. And I'm so excited. J.R. did not tell me he's now a producer on The Bay. I just texted him and I said, excuse me, it's time for a celebration. You know,
toast.
That is
so great, J.R. Congratulations. Yeah, he has the Midas touch. You both do. And
well,
I get to be
so
a part
you,
of it.
So do you, Ralph.
Well, thank you. I get to be a part of all of it. We are having so much fun. My house is smelling so damn good because I have been simmering collard greens. And child, we are sure.
What kind of meat are you having with it?
Well, I already fed Rose her chicken meat, but I wanted these collard greens to keep simmering during the show so we could have some afterwards. So we're just going to have some collard greens.
You got to have watermelon too? Or
she already had her watermelon, but now that I think about it, I got to go make some cornbread. Yes.
Yes. Get your cornbread. You need some fried chicken to go with it.
I know. Yes, I should have some fried chicken. But anyway, I have some fish. I have salmon. So I
and by the way, everyone can just keep their comment. Don't be tweeting me saying that I'm making racial remarks to Ralph because he's black and I'm half black. So I'm black by association. So I can say whatever we want, right?
I know. See, I was thinking like with pandemic 2020, remember how Darrow was always like, I don't give two fucks. And that's how we, especially now, it's like, you know what? This is the worst thing that I've ever gone. I mean, of course, I've had the death of my father and of Michael, but in terms of my best friend, Damien, and you know, the list goes on.
And then
on.
You had a bad haircut once, too.
And I had a bad haircut. So it's like, but this is the worst thing any of us have gone through. So anybody that creates bullshit in your life or just continues to have the ugliness, we just got to fuck that shit because we are, you know, living to save our lives without really knowing what to do. I mean, it's kind of like the invisible man. If he is standing next to you, how do you know? Because bitch is invisible. So it's like if the virus is airborne and you think you've covered your mouth and coughed into your elbow and worn the right mask and, you know, washed your hands and disinfected and then put on a slipper and put on a helmet, has that protected you? You know,
you bathed in Purell and you're still
Purell, and
you still get it, then you're just doomed to, you're just meant to get it. So, you know.
So.
Yeah.
Anywho,
listen, give Rose a big hug and a kiss because you can do it because you've been quarantining and you're safe from all of us. Give her our best.
Jasper.
We have a great show coming up next week. We have another Emmy-nominated daytime veteran, Miss Jacqueline Zeman from General Hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
And starting next week, we may be having two guests per show. So we're going to have another possible guest on the 28th. We definitely have two guests. And we're just going to keep
it a parade of champions.
It's a plethora.
It's a plethora and parade. Today is the P word. Thank you for that, Jasper. So, you know, planet Earth, you all are fierce. We are fierce. And let's keep living. Live.
And on that
note,
everyone, stay safe. We love you. We'll see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.